Tuesday, January 16th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, I want to give a quick shout out to Scottish John in Austin. He sent me a video yesterday. I watched it, and I actually called and left a voicemail with Allison Weir this morning, hoping she'll call me back and I can get her up on the program. But the video is called The Hidden History of How the United States Was Used to Create Israel. And specifically, this is a talk that she did in Seattle on July 30th, 2014. Now, Allison is the executive director of the website ifamericansknew.com. Now, that's an interesting title, because the vast majority of Americans don't know. Even I don't know or didn't know many things about the topic until now. So, thanks to Scottish John, I'm going to take what I learned from Allison, and I'm going to share it with you. How many times have we heard over the years with mainstream media, thousands of Palestinian rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israel? Well, Allison Weir claims that for months, indeed years, they've been hearing about that, and, well, that's in almost every report. And she also claims that for months, she goes on to say that it's factual and we should know about it, and they do. Well, a few years ago, the New York Times had a picture of one of those alleged Palestinian rockets that looked, to look at it, was very terrifying, with a man, of course, dressed in a uniform with a black mask over his face, visually suggesting that he was a terrorist, and he was manning the mortar that would launch said rocket. However, given how often the Israelis give them the information that thousands of rockets have been fired from Gaza, they say very little about those rockets. For example, most of all of them are small, homemade projectiles, and in most cases don't even cause any damage. The Israelis give statistics of sorts, thousands, but they never really say how many people the said rockets have killed since the entire time they've been used, and this is since the spring of 2001. They don't even want to give a ballpark figure. So Allison requested the number in early 2014, and reluctantly, the Israelis released the figure of, well, 27 people. 27 people in 13 years. The figure then rising to 29 several months later. The Israelis just seem not to want to discuss this information. Now, as a fair-minded people, they wish to get information on both populations. So with that in mind, how many Gazans have been killed by Israeli forces? Well, that number is not difficult to find. If you are seeking it from someone other than the Israelis, by the way, that number is about 6,000 before the last few weeks. Now, this was made, this documentary was made in July of 2014, so we're talking about 4 years ago. Much has happened since then. The number then was about 6,000 before the last few weeks leading up to July 30th, 2014. When Israel went in by force to Gaza, it was 4,700. That means 1,300 people killed just within a few weeks of the Israeli storm into Gaza. The Israelis give out some information, but leave out other equally important and relevant information. Now, we hear on mainstream news about the Israeli children that have been killed. Each and every one a tragedy, it goes without saying. We hear about the children, we see their names, and often hear about their parents. And the figures show, from 2001 through 2012, about 129. But what we almost never hear about is the Palestinian children. We don't hear their names, we don't see their parents, we don't grieve with those parents because we don't even know they were killed. And in looking at two respective graphs between Palestinian children and Israeli children killed between the years of 2000 and 2012, we see that in 2000, what we weren't told is that 91 Palestinian children were killed in a round of violence that occurred in the fall of 2000. 91 were killed before a single Israeli child. None, zero Israeli children were killed in the year 2000. Yet, the American media always portrays Israeli actions as retaliatory. Do you see anything wrong with this picture, folks? Chronologically, this is totally inaccurate. Should we not have heard about all of those children? And if we had known, oh, and by the way, the number one cause of their deaths was, get this, gunfire to the head. Really? Why is that? If the American people would have known that our contributory tax dollars were being given to the Israelis to shoot children in the head, do you not think that Americans would have demanded that it stop? Now, we cannot take a stern position on something as this if the truth is not being reported, and it is not being reported by our mainstream media. And why? Because they are owned and controlled by these same said powers. If we would have done that and known the facts, all of those children might still be living today. Even if we did it now, all of the children in the coming months or years might be spared. To most Americans, and I'm talking about not you guys, I'm talking about the dumbed-down, mind-numbed, mesmerized, hypnotized, mainstream TV, Kool-Aid-drinking Americans, to most of them, the Middle East just seems a bit confusing to everyday life, and we are told, the fighting's been going on for thousands of years, and there's nothing we can do about it. So most, including Allison, at a time, moved on to a different focus. This was early on, back in about 2000. Now, in 2000, when the second Palestinian Intifada began, the Palestinian uprising, and it was in the news a bit, Allison decided to pay attention, just to learn what this was all about. And when she finally paid attention, she noticed something that, in her words, she should have noticed long before. She's a journalist. And as a journalist, she noticed how one-sided the coverage was. That we heard detailed information about the Israeli suffering, as we should, but she expected to hear of the Palestinian suffering in equal detail. That information came much less frequently, and as she looked into the issue more and more, she began to read reports from the region and what was really going on, and by her own words, she was shocked at what she discovered. She read in the Israeli media report that an Israeli academic had written that Israeli forces were killing many unarmed demonstrators and doing so in large numbers. She reported that the strategy was not to kill too many. I'm talking about this Israeli reporter. The Israeli reporter was reporting that the strategy that the Israelis had was not to kill too many, because if you do, there's a chance that you will trigger an international outrage. So the deaths were not huge, but the injuries were, because they were injuring in large numbers. Those would be off the radar. This Israeli journalist wrote that they had injured 6,000 in the first month. She also wrote that Israeli forces were specifically targeting eyes and kneecaps. So with that information, as well as learning that we give Israel more of our tax money than any other country on earth, in 2014, it was about $10 million per day. Allison determined that this was the most covered-up information she had ever seen of such a profound importance. So Allison decided to make a trip over there to see for herself whether this information was really true. Now, in earlier years in the Peace Corps, she had support and organization in her efforts in Afghanistan, but in this case, she would go alone with no sponsor, no organization, or no support from anyone whatsoever. She landed in Israel February 7th at 8 p.m. 2001, and she experienced a sudden pang of disquiet she'd been trying to ignore on that very long airline flight, and she wondered, what would it be like for her as a single female American to wander alone through a largely Muslim land that was in the middle of a violent uprising and was at the epicenter of what we were continually being told was hostile to Americans in general and to women in particular. What indeed would it be like? As she traveled randomly and haphazardly along and among this area, she realized that these were nothing more than myths about this area that were as widely believed as they are false. People invited her to stay in their homes, which she gladly did. They treated her with respect, and whenever she said she was an American, which is what she always told them, the invariable response on that trip, as well as many after, the response was always welcome. Yet, we never see these people portrayed as these kinds of human beings. On that trip, she found more out about what was being done to the Palestinians. Now, I want you to remember, this is back in February 2001. I think John had put a clip on his website just here last few days where Abby Martin was being interviewed by Joe Rogan. The language was pretty filthy, so John or I, neither one, put it up on the program. But she just took a trip over there not too long ago, and her report was the same as this report. Nothing's changed. As a matter of fact, it's worse. Now, remember, this what Allison is talking about was in February of 2001, even before 9/11, before a single rocket had been fired about 5 years. And get this, folks, this was 5 years before Hamas had been elected. Okay, no rocket had been fired. Those are the two reasons that Israel is supposedly attacking Gaza. Now, the pictures that Allison took during this time, interestingly enough, depicted massive bullet holes in the walls of the Palestinians' homes on street after street. This is back way before the rockets, way before Gaza was elected. Okay, the people that were lucky had abandoned their homes. Now, these were the people that had somewhere else to go. They had only lost their homes that sheltered them from old age, where their children were once safe. And many people, however, were still living in these bullet-riddled homes. These homes are all gone now and have been replaced by illegal Israeli settlements. At one point, while Allison was wandering around, she heard Israeli gunfire very nearby. Now, all the people that she was with and her, they ducked and took Allison away to a safer area. And at first, she thought, in an email she wrote, that the Israeli gunfire was just a coincidence. But as she thought about it more, she concluded that to be a very naive assessment, because she occasionally looked over sandbagged barricades or peeked out shuttered windows to see Israeli guard towers overlooking them. And she had no doubt that the Israeli soldiers noticed that a white foreigner was wandering around, and Allison suspected they had decided to send her a message. That message? Don't see what we're doing. Don't come to Palestine. While she was there, she saw beautiful agricultural lands being destroyed next to the awesome Mediterranean Sea. She saw a stand of what had been 100-year-old date palms that were flattened. She saw groves of olive trees destroyed and entire crops destroyed. She saw farmers that, for generations, that had farmed there and wondered how they were going to feed their children. When your entire orchard is destroyed, your entire farm, your entire livelihood, all of your crops, how do you feed your children? Now, again, this is back in 2001, before it got really bad. She saw a people and a land destroyed using her tax money. Now, to Allison as a reporter, that was newsworthy. And as Americans, she goes on to say, and I agree, we're sort of used to seeing third world poverty, and though most of us are troubled by them, we think, well, there's so much of it, what can I do? This is not what Allison was seeing. She was seeing intentionally created poverty through the use of American money. She saw more. She saw suffering. She saw children in pain. She traveled to the nearest hospital. She saw children with bullets in their back, often in their back because they were running away, and also in their stomach and in their heads. She saw a brain-dead 12-year-old She saw children who will never walk again. They won't skip, they won't frolic as their childhoods are finished. And at one point, she saw a child and his parents. They were happy to see her as an American and asked if Allison could help them. Well, they thought maybe Allison could help their poor son. Allison then asked the doctor if maybe she could do something. Maybe a surgical team could be flown in from the U.S., or maybe their son could be flown back to the U.S. The doctor explained to her that he hadn't found the right time or the right way to tell the parents that their son was totally and eternally paralyzed. Allison then knew something the parents didn't know, and she wished that she didn't. That was in Gaza. She then went to the West Bank, to a newspaper office. And when she first arrived, they informed her that a 9-year-old boy was just shot and asked if she'd like to go see. Well, though full of apprehension and not wanting to partake of such a sight, she reluctantly went. She took pictures and saw that the boy was sitting. She saw that the boy was sitting, or had been sitting, simply watching his father paint the walls. She saw the wet paint, the toy trucks, the blood on the floor. She saw the wall portrait that had a bullet hole in it. She was told the Arabic writing in that portrait said, and I quote, "Thinking of God makes our hearts grow calm," unquote. She saw the needle point over the front door that said, "God bless our home." The family had moved in 10 days before to their dream house. She saw the flowers in the living room and the family photos on the wall. She then saw the parents when they got back from the hospital. She heard the mothers and sisters crying hysterically and the father walking around shell-shocked. It looked like he was sleepwalking in a bad dream that will never end. She saw the neighbors come in and try to comfort them, and at one point she heard a neighbor tell the father when he was about to break down, "Your son is a bird in heaven now." The next day was a funeral. The next day, another. There were pretty much funerals every day. The second funeral was for a woman that had 3 sons, age 18, 14, and 12. She had been killed, and while Allison was interviewing people, she suddenly found herself next to a woman that, as it turned out, was the dead woman's neighbor. I hear the break coming up. We'll be back in 3. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Stick around. This is going to get really interesting, folks. You're going to learn some things I don't think you knew before. Be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Does that make me crazy? Does it make you crazy as I go through this? Does it make us all crazy because of the lopsided reporting that we get from the mainstream media regarding this issue? Yeah, this lady was killed at a funeral every day. And while Allison was interviewing people, she found herself next to a woman who turned out was the dead woman's neighbor. And this woman had actually attended college in the United States. And she told of her friend. And that just a few days before, her late friend had asked her what it was like to go to college in the United States because her 18-year-old wanted to go to college in the United States. She explained that it was every boy's dream in Palestine to go to college in the United States. But he won't go now. He'll stay home to help with his brothers. And when she returned home from this trip, Alice started the organization If Americans Knew. And again, her website, ifamericansknew.com. And Allison believes, as I, if we all knew, we would stop funding it and end this violence. They looked at the media, the most powerful organizations in the world with a responsibility to enlighten people of atrocities such as these. The media, after all, is how most Americans learn what they think they know about many issues, including international issues. And Allison then decided to do a statistical media study of this issue. She decided to study how the media covered deaths in both the Palestinian and the Israeli populations. So she took a look at the New York Times, ABC World News Tonight, CBS Evening News, NBC Nightly News, the Associated Press, and regional newspapers. Both is the key word. We rarely get that. Both sides, folks. They also decided to look at the first year of the uprising as the first impressions are so powerful. They also did a subcategory of how many children were killed and how they were covered. Now, using an Israeli source, they discovered 28 Israeli children killed and 131 Palestinian children died. How is this covered by American primetime news shows? NBC, CBS, ABC? The findings were that they reported the Israeli deaths at rates of 13 to 14 times greater than they reported on the Palestinian deaths. They found mainstream media had been reporting on the Palestinian deaths so minimally, even though they are so large, that many people had no idea that the deaths were even occurring. And another independent group did a study of national public radio, you know, NPR, because they had been accused of consistently by Israel partisans as to being supposedly pro-Palestinian. They have caused substantial financial damage to some NPR affiliates around the country with that accusation. So fairness and accuracy in reporting decided to look into those accusations and study NPR's reporting. The researcher, his name was Seth Ackerman, he did an excellent study. And Ackerman discovered that, yes, indeed, NPR is very distorted on the issue. But, once again, it is in a pro-Israeli direction. He gave his study what Allison feels is a brilliant title. He called it The Illusion of Balance. He counted up and determined that NPR had observed almost the same amount of Israeli children's death as Palestinian children's deaths, making it sound to many listeners that this was a reliable and unbiased source of information. It was balanced information. In reality, it wasn't balanced at all, but a huge distortion. And Allison suggested actual manipulation, in which you repost a very large proportion, almost all of one population's death, and very few of the others. Got a break coming up. We'll be back in three. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info.
And it was a
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, folks, and I'm not backing down off of this one. I'll tell you what, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, back to this. Now, in this investigation, in this study, they also looked at the daily newspapers. Typical daily newspaper near Stanford University, the San Jose Mercury News. You know who Gary Webb, that guy I talked about yesterday, used to report for, used to write for? The San Jose Mercury News headlines. Now, many people are so busy that the headline may be all that they look at that day, but at least you're keeping up with the big front page news of the day, right? So, to verify what the headline said, they looked at a reference of the actual figures and found 121 Israeli children compared to 384 Palestinian children. How was this reported by the San Jose Mercury News? Well, they reversed it and increased the differential. Now, this is astounding. What if they got the Super Bowl scores backwards? What if they had gotten the World Series wrong? There would have been jokes about them by mainstream comedians around the country, and yet here they were committing a grandiose distortion of that of such magnitude, having to do with life and death, and nobody even noticed it. Now, Allison then went on to suggest that other newspapers around the country did the same thing. And often, throughout the past 12 or 13 years, Allison, myself, and likely others have seen this phrase about any time Israelis suffer something, or they're killed, or if there is an attack, it is portrayed as a period of calm has just been shattered by Palestinian violence. How many times have you read that in your local paper? There was a headline of that sort back in 2005 in the LA Times. And Allison, living in LA at the time, saw a said headline on the internet out of the LA Times before the news was put in print, and she tried to call the LA Times and suggest a correction so that they would not publish something that was incorrect. She advised them that during this time, what they were referring to as a, quote, period of calm, 170 Palestinians had been killed, men, women, and children, and also 379 Palestinians had been injured and maimed, men, women, and children. Their response was, and I quote, "We said relative calm," unquote. And they hung up the phone. They didn't change a single word in their news story, nor did they add a single piece of the information that Allison provided them. There are so many omissions by mainstream media that they are hard to count. But just one more to take note. And this one is about the United States. Hold on to your seats for this. Now, some of you or many of you may know this. This is something that I did not know. This is something that took place on Capitol Hill in 2003. There was a briefing in the Rayburn House official building. The chairman of that briefing was a four-star admiral. His name was Thomas Moorer. He was a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was a World War II hero. He was also part of the panel was Rear Admiral Merling Stering, the former head of the U.S. Navy JAG, the legal department, in charge of the entire legal department of the United States Navy. Also, part of their commission was a Marine general, not just any Marine general. This was General Ray Davis. He was the highest-ranking Medal of Honor recipient in the United States. The highest Medal of Valor an American can receive. Now, they announced their findings on Capitol Hill that Israel had tried to sink a U.S. Navy ship. We all know who that ship was, the USS Liberty, and that they had killed 34 Americans and injured over 170 of them. And the decks were running with blood. Now, all of you guys out there, you're all familiar with the USS Liberty story, thanks to Phil Turney and others, that rescue flights to these men had been recalled by order of the Secretary of Defense, and that the President of the United States, then Lyndon Baines Johnson, that this incident had been ordered covered up by, yes, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the President of the United States, and that this attack by Israel constituted an act of war against the United States. Yet, there was nothing written in the Washington Post. There was nothing written in the New York Times. There was nothing reported on the patriotic Fox News Network. The only place that covered those statements was the Stars and Stripes newspaper. Now, that's the military newspaper abroad. So they kept the American people totally in the dark domestically. Now, as we all know, this event is in detail in the Congressional Record, and you can go in there and read every word of it. Now, recent conflicts over the past 5 or 6 years, in 2009, 2010, there was a similar bombardment of Gaza where 1,400 Palestinians were killed, mostly women and children, and 9 Israelis were killed. Then, in 2012, there was a smaller massacre in which 160 Palestinians were killed, including women and children, compared to 6 Israelis, none of which were children. Now, in 2014, the media, when they report, and I know you'll all remember this, the media starts around June the 12th with no mention of any recurring hostilities. Remember when the 3 Israelis were abducted and murdered? Well, let's be a little bit more honest here and start with January 1st and look at the deaths among both populations again, because all deaths matter. January 6, 2014, 6 Palestinians dead, 1 child, 1 Israeli died. February, 3 dead Palestinians, no Israeli. March, 13 dead, all Palestinian. April 1st, 1 dead Palestinian, 1 Israeli. May, 3 dead, all Palestinian children. What we heard, however, was nothing reported about any of this. All we heard were the 3 Israelis abducted June 12, 2014. And we heard it ad nauseum for days, if not weeks. I remember hearing about it for at least a week. And what was, that's when I used to watch TV. And what was never reported mainstream in the United States during that period of time is the Israelis had abducted 2,300 Palestinians and quite a few children among them. But hey, that wasn't newsworthy. In June, the 3 Israelis, but 15 Palestinians, including 3 children. And through July of 2014, 29 Israelis total, with over 300 Palestinians and an additional at least 100 children. What is this all about, really? Is it indeed a feud, as they say, dating back? You go out and take a poll, and you talk to people. You know anything about the Israeli-Palestinian? You go, oh, yeah, it's been going on for 1,000 years. I don't know anything about it. They're going to kill each other. You know, you'll get stuff like that coming out of the mind-numb, dumbed-down American public. So is it indeed a feud dating back thousands of years? Where and how did all this start? And how did the United States get to have such a unique and tight relationship with such a tiny country without any resources? How did this happen? Well, we know that prior to 1948, there was no Israel. So, where did it come from? According to Allison's research, as well as my own, We both conclude that there was a movement that started over 100 years ago, both in Europe and the United States. It was and is a political movement that has profoundly, as well as negatively, impacted our country. It has tragically impacted the Middle East, and it has dangerously impacted the entire world. Yet most of the populace has never heard of it, and certainly could not define it. It's political Zionism, the movement to create a Jewish state in Palestine. And it began in Palestine in the late 1800s. So let's have a look at Palestine back in the late 1800s. It was what one would describe as a somewhat multicultural land. About 80% Muslim, about 15% Christian, and about 5% Jewish. All living together, by the way, quite successfully for hundreds of years, with mosques of worship, synagogues, churches throughout Palestine, and throughout the Middle East and throughout North Africa. These populations had been living without conflict for centuries. How did the conflicts start? They lived peacefully, quietly. This movement was created largely in Europe, then taken up at the time in the United States, and to create the Jewish state that was already inhabited, in which 95% of the people that resided there weren't Jewish. This would involve, and what was known by the leadership, even though many followers didn't know it, this would mean that about 95% of those people were eventually going to be dispossessed. By money, if possible. By the way, many Americans think that the Jewish bought this land. They didn't. They stole it. Or by force, if necessary. Now, this was written in Zionist journals early on. This was a movement, although undertaken as far back in the United States as the 1880s around the United States, although few knew of it, almost nobody knew it. In 1887, ambassadorship to Turkey becomes quasi-Jewish domain. And in 1898 was the first conference of American Zionists, and by 1910, there were already 20,000 Zionists in the United States. They included lawyers, professors, businessmen, quite the elite set of people, people with money. And it was already becoming a movement to which congressmen listened, particularly in the eastern cities. Then, in 1912... we had a very significant development. A prominent lawyer and close friend of Woodrow Wilson became a Zionist. His name was Louis Brandeis. And within 2 years, Brandeis then became the head of World Zionism. Now, this was public knowledge, though few at the time paid any attention to it. And a few years after that, he was named as a Supreme Court justice, named by Woodrow Wilson, his buddy, back-slapping buddy. As a Supreme Court justice, you are supposed to resign your various board memberships and affiliations so as not to have any conflicts of interest, but supposedly be, well, neutral, right? He did resign his World Zionism leadership, but the reality is, he continued it, he would receive reports in his Supreme Court chambers by his loyal lieutenants. Then he would give them directives to go out and follow, and this is mentioned in the number of very reliable books. One of his loyal lieutenants himself went on to become a Supreme Court justice. His name? Felix Frankfurter. You may have heard of him. Now, in the publication, Israel in the Mind of America, written by Peter Gross, who was a former New York Times editor, this guy had written a number of well-regarded mainstream books and was, one could say, highly recognized in his establishment. In his book, or in this book, he had a few pages in which he told, you're going to like this, folks, in which he told about a secret Zionist society. You know those secret societies we were warned about by JFK? Which had operated in the United States and in which Louis Brandeis, while a Supreme Court justice, had been a leader. Now, Allison, in looking at where he got that information, she looked where he picked it up, into the, you know, the footnotes in his book, and so she went to the source. And it turned out to be from a scholarly journal called the American Jewish Historical Quarterly. Now, that was, at the time, was a very respected journal. And in looking at the author, she was a well-regarded Israeli historian named Dr. Sarah Schmidt at a mainstream Israeli university. And she wrote an article in 1975 called The Parushim, P-A-R-U-S-H-I-M, A Secret Episode in American Zionist History. Schmidt described the society as elitist, and Parushim meant Pharisees or separate. This group, the small group, they would go around the country and influence people to push this Zionist agenda. And at this time in history, most Jews were not Zionists, and many were opposed to Zionism. Now, this was a very fringe element. And by the way, you know, what's his name? Joe Biden has admitted he's a Zionist. He's not Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. I just want to throw that out there. But many people were opposed to Zionism. This was a very fringe element in a certain regard. And their society had a secret induction ceremony. And part of the initial oath in their ceremony was, and I quote, "Until our purpose shall be accomplished, you will be a fellow of the brotherhood whose bond you will regard as greater than any other in your life, dearer than that of your family, your school, or your nation," unquote. Now, as early as November of 1915, a leader of the Parushim went around suggesting that the British might gain some benefit from a formal declaration in support of a Jewish national homeland in Palestine. Is this a prerequisite to the Balfour Declaration of 1970 and possibly part of why they drafted such a document? Well, let's continue into this investigation and find out. Can I have a break coming up here shortly, so I probably should take a breath, I guess. I'm not going to open up the phone lines right now, folks. I want to get through this, and I'll open up the phone lines and get your comments on it. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live. I'll continue with this when I get back. Stick around.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
All right, so we're back with the American Awakening. Mike Kurzoff, your host. As soon as I don't open up the phone lines, I get a call from Murr in Wisconsin. How you doing, Murr?
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I had been hanging on before that. You said if AmericansKnew.com and it's .org, I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I thought it was no problem.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
And maybe your chat room, I put it in there, and there's also, she has a report card on the media.
Okay. If AmericansKnew.org, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And, thank you. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Sure. Do you mind? I know you gave out your email in haste to Ramsey, but did you wish you hadn't done that, or...
Because
I got part of
it. Well, no. I got a whole bunch of information. Basically, he sent me something by Trevor Roper, which was an intelligence agent in Britain, that evidently, from what I understood, went over to Germany after the war to verify if Hitler had indeed committed suicide. Now, he says that this guy's a historian, and I haven't looked into it that much. I'm open to any... positive, negative information regarding the Holocaust. But what bothers me about Ramsey and others is that they start name-calling, which he did. He called both John and I a couple of interesting names. And,
He used to get into it with Dr. Tulawali.
Oh, really?
Sam, well, yeah, he used to always get into it with him. But he would push like this, kind of stutter, and then...
Well, the biggest problem,
wrong ever.
the biggest problem that I had, I couldn't understand him, and he was saying one word that I had to ask him three times what it was. So he burns up airtime. If he were concise and he would make his points and he would send the information, which he did send me something about this Trevor Roper guy, of which I haven't even had the opportunity to look into, because I wear two other hats besides just this show.
Could I just run it by you? It's Discerner, D-I-S-C-E-R-N-E-R, 12, and then I put 1,200, but that got bounced at Yahoo.
No, it's 12,000. 1200.
Okay, missing an O.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't mind,
right.
I'll send you a couple things, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
I send things to Steve and to Mike Rivero and different ones, and they seem to appreciate, so
yeah.
It helps.
Okay. No, look, I openly ask, and what I'm using today's information that Scottish John sent me in Austin, which I give a shout out to Scottish John, but also Carol in Idaho has sent me some pieces that I've done shows on. So anything anybody sends me, I take a look at it, and if I can, you know, if I think it's, you know, information that needs to be put out there, of course I'll put it out.
Browse through your chat room. I'll try to post things at the end of the show so they're easy to find, links if you, you know, don't want to get.
Well,
so
I'll tell you, in all honesty, if you just send it to my email address, because I rarely I don't have time with doing a show to go into the chat room. Then when I get through, I have to put on another hat and go do something else. So I really don't have the time to go doinking around the chat room looking this stuff up. But if you email it to me, I will read it, okay?
All right.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Have a good
Bye.
Day. Okay, that's the music. We're going to go to the top of the hour break. When we get back, I'm going to continue with this, and then I'll open the phone lines, 800-313-9443. I want to get through this first, though, because there's a couple of other tidbits I want to share with you. Be right back.
Nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Okay.